You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, everybody? This is Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the podcast. We are getting ready for the Eagles' Sunday matchup at Lincoln Financial Field against the New York Jets as they look to get to 3-2 on the year. They're playing a winless Jets team that they're favored by 13.5 points right now, so a very favorable game for the Eagles at home against a team that may not have their starting quarterback in Sam Darnold. We'll get into that. We had a little bit more news about Darnold and his chances at playing on Sunday today, Thursday morning. So we'll get into that. Some matchups that I want to break down, where the Eagles can exploit this Jets team on both the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. And I got a fun little thing coming up to segment two that I want you to think about, a fun exercise. And then you can hit me up on Twitter about it after the show. At DiBiase LOE, and it's who would you steal from the Jets? You can choose from anyone on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. You can pick one Jet to steal for the Eagles. Who would you choose? So start thinking about that now, and we'll dig into that segment two right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day we took a first look at this matchup yesterday. Me and Gino got into how really, just from a fan perspective, you'd love to see this Eagles team just finally blow the roof off of a team. And not just, you know, in the second half. Don't make it close in the first half for once. For the first time really since, I mean, it happened twice last year against the Giants on Thursday Night Football and against the Redskins Week 17. But outside of that, really since 2017, we haven't seen a dominating four-quarter performance from the Eagles, that was a blowout. I mean, they've had complete games like the Houston game last year. I thought they were good for all four quarters, but it was close. From a fan perspective, I'd like a stress-free game after the crazy roller coaster of a first month of the season that the Eagles have had here in the 2019 season. So make sure you check out that podcast. We did week four, stock up, stock down on Tuesday. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any provider so you get our 4 to 6 podcasts a week downloaded into your phone, or you can check them out as always on LockedOnEagles.com. So our lead story today brought to you by DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your first or favorite restaurant come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Our lead story today, Jeremy Maclin will be the honorary captain on Sunday, which is really cool for me as a 22-year-old here that really when I first scratched the surface, so I've been cheering for the Eagles now. I started liking them. I started really getting into sports when I was 5, 6 years old, right? So, you know, I saw the McNabb era, Terrell Owens and Brian Westbrook and, you know, Brian Dawkins. But for the most part, that era was kind of coming to an end when I was hitting the mature years of my fanhood, right? When I actually could start processing things and understanding the game from an analytical perspective, from an X's and O's perspective, from roster management, just being more coherent, scratching the surface as a football fan and as an Eagles fan. Really, the era that I grew up with kicking off was Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Michael Vick, and then, of course, it was Nick Foles. Just that right after the Dawkins era, the 2008 season and on. And so to have Jeremy Maclin coming back to Lincoln Financial Field for the first time since 2015 is really cool, and it's going to be emotional. It's for him, for this Eagles fan base. I think he was a beloved athlete here in Philadelphia, and you know, it's a feel-good story for a guy that while he was only with the Eagles from 2009 up until 2015, he did a lot of damage. He was a efficient player in the short span, and he was very exciting in a time where the Eagles were loaded on offense. And, you know, he had to retire in the spring after dealing with a chronic hamstring injury. It sucks to see that happen to such a young and, again, efficient player. The guy's only 30 years old. You see what a guy like DeSean Jackson can do at 33 years old. You don't always lose that speed. I mean, look how long Steve Smith played into his late 30s. Same with Larry Fitzgerald. So 30 years old is not old for a wide receiver. Maclin did not, you know, without that hamstring injury, he's probably still in the league. So it stinks to see him have to retire, but it is really cool that the Eagles decided to honor him. You know, he's not a legend in Eagles history, but he was a really good, young, efficient player for them for quite a while. He was a homegrown talent. They drafted him in the first round in 2009, and he did everything the right way. You know, he never got into trouble off the field. He was never a distraction. He was a great teammate. Everybody loved him. He was a leader in that 2014 season when it was a bit of a transition when DeSean Jackson was gone and they brought in Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff as rookies, and, you know, Zach Ertz was in his second year and Nick Foles was only in his third season. So he and McCoy kind of played that veteran leader role. So just a great athlete in Philadelphia history that I'm glad they're representing. And it's cool for, I think, a lot of Eagles fans in their 20s right now that really grew up watching that offense. I think that's the demographic that's really going to enjoy this on Sunday. So Jeremy Maclin named the honorary captain. And, you know, he was kind of the Zach Ertz before Zach Ertz. He wasn't DeSean Jackson when it comes to Maclin. Look, he could do everything. He was a great route runner, awesome balance and focus on sideline grabs. He was great going down for passes, you know, diving plays, and he had the speed. He was a kickoff returner at Missouri. He made plays down the field. He was a deep threat. You know, you look at 2014, he was that DeSean Jackson from the year before when he had over 1,300 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns in Chip Kelly's offense, but he was kind of that do-it-all player while DeSean Jackson was your deep threat. Michael Vick was your playmaking quarterback. LeSean McCoy was your game-breaking running back. Maclin was kind of that reliable player that you knew you could go to in the crunch when you needed a play, when you needed a completion. It was Maclin. I mean, he had five straight seasons. Again, he wasn't someone that had 2014, he had that really big year, but he wasn't someone that had, sure, 1,500 yard seasons every single year like some of the best in the league. But he had five straight seasons of 800 plus yards. And in his rookie year, he had 773. He had at least five touchdowns in five straight seasons. And in Eagles history, in the record books, he's 10th all time in receptions and receiving yards. And he's 7th in receiving touchdowns. And he did all of that in just 75 games with the Eagles. So it's a great player that should have never left. Chip Kelly really botched that and waited to the last minute to counter offer the Chiefs and Andy Reid's offer to Maclin. And by that point, it was too late. That, again, it's the emotional intelligence that Chip Kelly never really understood. And Maclin wrote in a statement today, he wrote a letter to the fans on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and he even talked about, you know, did I make the wrong call leaving in 2015? He was close to staying, though. I mean, that's, you got to give him credit. He waited until Chip Kelly basically ignored him throughout the free agency process until it really was too late. And by that point, I understand it from Maclin's perspective. But, you know, he wanted to stay. He kept saying, I remember listening to the story. He was on the golf course and asking his agent, you know, Kansas City made the offer. And he's like, what are we hearing from the Eagles? Have they made an offer yet? Can they come close? And by that point, you know, Chip Kelly just, he waited too long. So it stinks that, much like DeSean Jackson the first time around and LeSean McCoy, those guys just left too soon. And he almost came back in 2017. He nearly chose the Eagles over the Baltimore Ravens, but he had a bigger opportunity with the Ravens. Could have had a ring in 2017. Nearly came back last season, week three, when Mike Wallace went down for the year and they were already without Alshon Jeffrey. But, you know, that chronic hamstring injury flared up before he could get a workout in with the Eagles. So they chose Jordan Matthews. So, you know, it stinks. There's a scenario where, hey, at least two of the three, there's even a scenario where all three of LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, and DeSean Jackson could have came back and won a ring. You know, Jackson wanted to come back in 2017, free agency. The Eagles nearly traded for McCoy at the trade deadline instead of Jay Ajayi. And Jeremy Maclin almost signed in the summer. So it's a really cool what if that you could think about. And it would have been an incredible story. But it is cool that they, you know, he didn't come back as a player on the field for a second stint like DeSean Jackson has. But it will be cool to see them bring him back in a fashion of as an honorary captain on Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to that on Sunday against the New York Jets, who, speaking of the Jets, coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, I want to get into this fun exercise here. Who would you steal from New York on the offensive or defensive side of the ball? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by MyBookie. I don't know about you, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because, hey, they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win than MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the show. We are getting close to game day as the Eagles take on the New York Jets Sunday at 1 o'clock. Before I get into some injury news and some matchups, I want to ask you this, and I want you to hit me up on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE, after the show. Because I was thinking about it, the Jets, a lot of their strong suits, from a personnel standpoint, from a position-by-position standpoint, a lot of their strong suits, where they have great young players, it's at positions that the Eagles could really use help right now. So here's the question. You can steal one Jet. You can steal one Jet for the Eagles. It can be an offensive player, can be a defensive player, whatever. Who would you choose? For me, some of the candidates would be, of course, safety Jamal Adams, one of the best young safeties in the league. It could be one of the Williamses at defensive tackle, Leonard Williams, or Quinnen Williams, who to me is one of the best defensive tackle prospects I've seen coming out of college in a long time. Maybe Le'Veon Bell. There was speculation all last year about, because the Eagles needed a running back so bad, hey, would they trade for Le'Veon? Would they try to sign him in free agency? He ends up getting the big payday with the Jets. So there's four players right there I could lay out because the Eagles could really use another defensive tackle with Jernigan out and Jackson out. Bringing in a Williams. I mean, can you imagine Quinnen Williams next to Fletcher Cox? I mean, I think, look, they need corner more. I think long-term they need a safety more. Jamal Adams as your third guy right now with McLeod and Jenkins. And then eventually, I mean, again, he would start over McLeod, but they would pretty much run three safeties the entire time at that point. And then he becomes your core long-term safety. So I would probably lean towards Adams, but my gosh, I mean, could you imagine Quinnen Williams and Fletcher Cox next to each other? That... I mean, the problem is you have money tied to Malik Jackson still for another year or two, and you still have Timmy Jernigan. So I guess for need, yes, Jenkins and McLeod are still there, but for immediate need, Jamal Adams, especially in that secondary right now, would probably be the way to go. But I would be so tempted to add Quinnen Williams. And, you know, if I had to pull the trigger, I might go with that, honestly, if I had to choose. But I think the smart play there would be to steal Jamal Adams. I'm thinking that's the way to go. Le'Veon Bell, before they invested in Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, I would have said that would be an option I really like. But right now, I don't think that is something that would be the right call. You know, I think it's Quinnen Williams. That's the one I'm going to go with. Yeah, I'm going to put him at a defensive tackle. I think the smart way to go is Jamal Adams, but I would be way too enticed to pair those two up for the next, what, you know, 5 to 7 years, however much longer Fletcher Cox will play for, with Quinnen Williams at 21 years old. I mean, the guy still has braces on. So that is a very enticing matchup or duo I could pair up for the future for the Eagles. All right, let's get into some injury news. Speaking of Jackson, I mentioned Malik Jackson at defensive tackle. He is out right now with an injury. He's out for the season. DeSean Jackson, he might not be 100% for the rest of the year. So two guys I really respect and I love their podcast. It's Inside the Birds. It's two guys I work with at 97.3 ESPN South Jersey, Jeff Mocher and Adam Kaplan. They, on their show the other day, they were talking with NFL sources, you know, off the show, and they said that if DeSean Jackson elected to get surgery on this abdomen strain, that he would likely be out for the year. So instead, Jackson is deciding to rehab and make sure he can get out here within the next couple weeks. He's not going to play against the Jets, but within this three-game road trip between the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Bills, he might be able to return for one of those three games. However, we might not see a 100% DeSean Jackson like we saw week one against the Redskins for the rest of the season. And that sucks. That is a huge bummer because, you know, you kind of got this little tease of, hey, DeSean's back and he blew the roof off of a team. He was literally the missing piece on offense, as everybody thought he was. And then here's this injury. But at the same time, if you can get him back, even if he's at 75% of what he normally is, and we talked about it when he broke his finger, that still is somebody that could, with that speed, even as just a decoy, if your two safeties on defense are not staying deep, if you don't have guys watching DeSean Jackson at all times, it doesn't matter if he's injured. He can still destroy your defense. So I'm glad that he's deciding not to get the surgery. I think the Eagles desperately need him right now because of what, and again, this is from a more of a fan, I'm speaking more here as a fan for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because you do have to know, as someone that's watched Nelson Aguilar for the past 5 years, that receivers do take longer to develop. But it's frustrating to see Mac Hollins is getting more snaps over Arcega-Whiteside, and Arcega-Whiteside's not making the most of his opportunities as a second-round pick. Meanwhile, DK Metcalf here is just dominating for the Seahawks. He just caught a 40-yard touchdown as I'm recording here on Thursday Night Football against the Rams. So I think they really need him. Yes, they're going to go 12 personnel heavy throughout the remainder of the season, but DeSean Jackson, he stretches the defense and he makes your offense less compact, and that is so important for Carson Wentz, who is playing at an MVP level right now, but to be able to take a little bit of the pressure off him to always have to make things happen and, you know, to open things up more for Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, Dallas Goedert, and Zach Ertz. So, but the report right now is that DeSean Jackson probably won't play on Sunday, but he could return during this three-game road trip, just at not at 100%. So that's on the Eagles' front. Also, Sidney Jones is expected to play. He was once again practicing on Thursday, and that's huge to add Sidney Jones to what has been the 32nd-ranked passing defense. Because here are the Jets, who are the 32nd-ranked passing offense. They're going to get their quarterback back in Sam Darnold. And I think it's nuts that they're still actually considering playing him. It's looking closer and closer each day like he's going to be able to get cleared for contact. He has not yet. His next physical examination is tomorrow on Friday. But even if he's cleared, like for me, he was even joking about it today how he just wants to make sure he doesn't die out there. Mono is a legitimate illness, and that spleen, if it's still inflamed, and you know, they're going to give him extra padding, I guess, on Sunday. But I mean, if I'm the Jets, I haven't won a game yet this year. I got to protect my asset, my quarterback of the future that I invested so much in last year. This season to me is already a lost cause if I'm New York. There is no way, especially with all the good teams in the AFC right now, or all the close teams, you are so behind the eight ball already. There is no way I'm risking him up against this front four with the Eagles that got after Aaron Rodgers all day long last Thursday night, but it appears they'll have him back. So both teams are going to add personnel, much needed personnel, to their abysmal passing units from a passing defense perspective for the Eagles and a passing offense perspective for the Jets. So I think I'm not scared at all. I'm not terrified of Sam Darnold, but with Jones's hamstring injury and Rasul Douglas's struggles to cover speed receivers like a Terry McLaurin, we saw it week one. I want an emphasis on stopping the deep ball, cover two, let Darnold dump it down to Le'Veon Bell all day long. Because to me, yes, Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder, they are not number one wide receivers, but they are the exact kind of players, much like McLaurin was, that can, like Calvin Ridley was week two, that can get this defense in a lot of trouble. They struggle against speed receivers, and a lot of the time it's because they have these inconsistent younger corners out on an island with just one safety deep. I mean, that's just, to me, that's a recipe for disaster. I want McLeod over top Anderson at all times, and Malcolm Jenkins will probably be assigned on Crowder in the slot for the majority of the game, but Crowder, too, has big-time speed down the field. We know that as people that have watched the Washington Redskins play the Eagles over the years, Crowder has that home run ability. So you got to make sure you watch those two because, yes, this is the 32nd-ranked passing offense, but they have not had Darnold since week one. And with this Eagles secondary, you never know. It's 32nd versus 32nd. So an emphasis on stopping Robbie Anderson and Jameson Crowder for me is a really big focus for this Eagles team because, again, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, he's going to get his, but it's not going to be at an efficient rate. The Eagles are fourth right now in rushing defense. They're only allowing 62 yards per game. Keep everything in front of you here with Le'Veon Bell. I'm not scared of that matchup at all. It really doesn't matter who the running back is. The Eagles have been able to, over the years, the past, like, I feel like really since Fletcher Cox has come onto this defense, they have been a great rushing defense. So the key here to me is cover two, stop Anderson, stop Crowder, You're going to get a much needed boost with Sidney Jones here at corner. For the Jets, they might get a boost at quarterback, a significant one, because you're going maybe from Luke Falk to Sam Darnold. But for me, if this was Carson Wentz, for instance, let's go to the back injury. If there was a chance that he could re-injure that back and it could be something long-term that doesn't allow him to play football, considering what the Eagles have invested in Carson Wentz, there is no chance in hell that I'm playing him. But again, it's the Jets, it's Adam Gase, so would not put him past him at all. All right, we're going to take another break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I'm going to flip the script here. The Jets defense, where can the Eagles attack this Jets defense on Sunday? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, Louis DiBiase wrapping up this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for joining me here. Eagles take on the Jets Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field at 1 o'clock. We will have our post-game show immediately after that, so make sure you tune in. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever and whenever you're listening. We always do appreciate you guys. Love the listener feedback all the time. We love doing the show for you, and it's been a fun but roller coaster season so far. So I'm hoping we can get through a smooth, easy win against the Jets with this daunting schedule the next 6 weeks that are coming up for Philadelphia. And how can they do that on the offensive side of the ball, which is the fourth most efficient offense when it comes to touchdown drives? They're the best third down offense in the league. They are top 10 in the red zone. Carson Wentz is the number one ranked quarterback according to Pro Football Focus. He is on pace for numbers that will shatter his 2017 record-setting season. It's a great time to be watching this Eagles offense with how good the offensive line is playing. They finally have running backs that are talented that can make more out of those gaping holes the offensive line is creating. Where can they attack, though, this Jets defense that, hey, I was talking about it, segment two. They've got pieces. Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Quinnen Williams, Tremaine Johnson, who to me, I don't think is as bad as he has played so far at the cornerback position. I think him versus Alshon Jeffrey, it was a great battle back and forth 2017 when the Eagles were in LA to take on the Rams. With the big body, the large wingspan of Johnson going up against the massive target of Alshon Jeffrey, that's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. Winning that battle will be really big for the Eagles. And I think it's going to be a game that through the air, you're going to win like that. They're the Jets. They're the fifth worst passing defense in the NFL. Their secondary has been brutal. And their rushing defense is top 10. They're eighth right now. They're the eighth best rushing defense in the NFL. So not saying that the Eagles shouldn't run the football by any means. They have in their repertoire. It's a really fun battle, much like it was last week, getting to see the Eagles offensive line against what was a red-hot Packers defensive line. It's cool to see this elite unit for the Eagles up front getting to go up against another tough task, especially up the middle. When you can get pressure up the middle, if defensive tackles can wreck the ball game, that is so huge to get quarterbacks off their spot and to stop the run. That's huge for a defense. So the Eagles need to win that battle. And it's such a fun one because the Eagles' interior offensive line has been just bananas good so far this year. Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, Isaac Seumalo. So I cannot wait to see that matchup. That's the matchup. If you can win that one, I think you're golden, because I don't think the Eagles are going to have, even without DeSean Jackson and without a 100% Alshon Jeffrey, I don't think they're going to have any trouble moving the ball through the air on this Jets secondary. So if they can also win that matchup in the middle, in the exact trenches that, you know, we always say win through the trenches, but literally the trenches here, like thick in the middle, defensive tackles versus your center and left and right guard, the Eagles should blow the roof off this Jets team, whether Sam Darnold is there or not. Thank you for tuning into the show today. I'm not sure. Well, it's still up in the air for tomorrow. Friday or Saturday, plan on one more podcast before game time, and then we will have our post-game show on Sunday. Hopefully talking about the Eagles getting to 3-2 on the season. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE, and check out our stuff on LockedOnEagles.com. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.